Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen, glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Good to be here today. Pastor Clark Covington, Bible teacher too. I'll call myself that, Bible teacher. Here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Thank you for joining me. And look, hopefully you got a pen and pad, your Bible, maybe some coffee brewing. Is there anything better than the smell of coffee brewing? I don't think there's anything better than that. I love that smell. Amen. Especially fresh roasted coffee. It has a unique smell. Sometimes I'll be making coffee. My wife will come downstairs and say, ooh, smell like a coffee shop in here. That's a great compliment, friend. So, hey, you know what? Just trying to, I don't know, give coffee a little plug here on the program. But good to be here. We are getting into Genesis 4 a little deeper, moving right along. Thematically, we had the creation of the earth in Genesis 1. And then as we see 2, 3, and 4, we see very quickly creation of man, fall of man, creation of the child of man, fall of the child of man, and then we're going to quickly see the righteous line of Seth and then Noah. So it's all coming quickly here in Genesis. Lots to learn. We're in Genesis 4. We're going to work to try to get through 14 through 16 today. What I'll do is just sum up 11 through 13 a little bit. We see God's poetic cause by cursing the earth, just like he had cursed the earth for Adam and Eve. Guess what? It's cursed again. Now, I don't know how bad the curse was the first time, but I almost feel like this is God doubling down on the curse, right? So definitely not good. I think the curse was very bad to begin with, and now it's going to be like almost impossible to grow anything, make anything, profit from anything. You're not going to have fruit from your life. And we see this is, again, the same curse that Adam saw. So we see the cycling repeating. This is like the first, you know, if you had like a little clicker, you know, sometimes people will stand in front of a gate at like an event and they'll click a button every time someone walks in. Or on the road, you'll drive over a little piece of rubber and it'll kind of click to count the traffic. And you know, this is kind of like the sin cycle, and it's like clicking one. You know, it's the first entry of sin. And then from then on, it's been clicking, clicking ever since, from generation to generation. Certainly, as we're going to learn about, I think in the next episode, we'll certainly learn about the wicked line of Cain, okay? And we'll see sin start really working itself out in greater and more horrible ways. But today we're looking more at the consequences lived out, because yesterday we spoke about, again, the sin cycle starting and the consequences being given down, kind of the discipline being given to Cain, God giving Cain his punishment. And we remember that Cain was a farmer. And so the cursed ground that the blood of Abel had been spilled upon would have been very personal to Cain. This is his occupation, like a pianist going blind or a writer not being able to see or hear, you know, a musician not being able to hold their instrument anymore, or a singer not being able to sing. I think it's in line with that kind of punishment. It was a personal punishment. Cain's sin was a personal sin against Abel. Cain's sin was the idea of exactly what we aren't to do. You know, what does the Bible say? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, love your brother. That is like straight from the words of Jesus, okay? And God through Moses. And what do we have here? Cain doing the opposite. He's killing his brother. And so the strength of the ground is gone. It will not produce fruit. Cain's going to be a vagabond and a fugitive. And now all of a sudden, what does he say in verse 13 of Genesis 4? And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now, it probably took a lot from God not to be like, yeah, you fool. I tried to warn you, as recorded in Scripture, and you didn't even listen. Like, are you serious? You know, like, oh, now it's too much for you to bear after you did this horrible thing? This also, by the way, shows God gives man free will to choose, right? Because we see here, God could have stopped Cain and he didn't. God could have, you know, killed Cain and he didn't. You know, all the tragic things we've seen in our life, you know, a lost person calls me after a shooting and says, hey, man of God, why was there a school shooting? You know, hey, man of God, why 9/11? Hey, man of God, why the Holocaust? Hey, guess what? God is allowing things to play out for a season where sin is let loose. And in God's sovereignty, through hindsight, we can see that God uses this as a lesson, not just in the Old Testament, but if you'll remember our last couple episodes, that Cain is mentioned often in the New Testament, in 1 John, Hebrews, and other places. This is a lesson of the consequences of sin, of the rebelliousness of man, of the originality of sin, and the fact that sin repeats itself, of the abject, just depravity of man. I mean, there's a lot of lessons here. I mean, we start learning about wickedness of cities and all kinds of things and how historians can't be trusted. There's tons of lessons from what Cain did. So God said, I'm going to give you free will, but I'm not going to give you free consequences. You will sin and you will then accept the wages of sin, which is death. Cain certainly died. But I will use this as a proverb, as a bylaw, as a warning, as a way to make people understand that you should not fall into this sin. I will use this as the counter or the contrary to my commandment to love your brother. You see, let's take a break and we'll dive into our scriptures for today. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Okay, here we are. Thank you for staying tuned. And we're getting right back into the scripture here. In Genesis 4, we'll start at 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Wow, so we see this word driven. Just as Adam, God had to drive him out. God drove Adam out of Eden. Let's take a look at that verse. Yeah, verse 24, Genesis 3, last verse of Genesis 3, the very previous chapter. So he, that's God, drove out the man. Here we are. God's at the, you know, he's driving people out again. See, nobody wants to leave God. That's like the main point here. You don't want to be far from God. Every day I pray throughout the day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. But every day in my morning devotional time, I pray and I pray and I pray and I stop after reading the Bible and praying. And my final kind of little parting prayer there for that season is, Lord, stay near. Lord, please stay near. Lord, stay so close to me that you're right here. Now, of course, he is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But I want him to know that I know my need for him. And I want to relieve myself of my need for myself by knowing God is near. Because true joy and peace, happiness, everything comes from God being near, right? And God's having to drive. And Adam and Cain, everybody knows this. Right? So they sin and then they want the best of both worlds, right? It's like the husband that cheats on his spouse, but he doesn't want to divorce her. you want the best of both worlds. Or the fornicator doesn't want to marry. You want the best of both worlds. It doesn't work like that. God says there's a price to be paid for sin. The wages of sin is death. And that death isn't just like a earthly physical death, though that happens. It's a spiritual death. It's a death of a connection. It's what separates, amen. Just as Adam was drove out of Eden, Cain is now driven out from the presence of the Lord. God wants you to know the reason why is that sin separates. When we repent, what do we say as Christians? Often we say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, true repentance is asking God, the Holy Spirit, to point out any sin in your life. Okay, that's brave and important. Lord, show me any sin that's in my life that is what? Separating me from you, that is driving a wedge for me and you. Sin separates. Repentance brings back together. God is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we what? When we confess our sins. I could go on, but for time's sake here, we're in Genesis 4. And in the previous verse, Cain said, I can't bear this punishment, but on here we go here. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. All right, so what do we have here? We have whose face is hid? God's face. Real punishment is to be away from God. As a child needs a parent, God's creation needs him. yet we hardly ever recognize this fact until it's too late. And Cain is acknowledging that his relationship with God is gone. His face is hid. He mentions being a fugitive and a vagabond, and everyone will want to kill him. He's understanding the consequences. He's repeating back the consequences. Just like Adam and Eve understood now they were naked and now they needed something to cover themselves and the fig leaves weren't really working, right? God had to take animal skins. They realize the consequences. They realize, oh, okay, now I see this is really, really bad. This is more than I can bear, as Cain would say. The consequences weren't hitting home just a few verses earlier, but they are now. And so what do we see here? Cain's afraid for his life. Isn't that ironic? He took the life of his brother, his very own brother, okay? A child of God, a righteous child of God, and now he's afraid for his life. What are we to do? To prefer others more than ourselves. We are to prefer others more than ourselves. We are to look at others in a greater light. If Cain had looked at his brother better than he, preferring him to he, sacrificially loving him, then he would have never killed him. And by virtue of that, he would have never been separated from God. So when we prefer others over ourselves, we're blessed and benefited. You know, I don't know if you've been in the ministry maybe, or you know someone in the ministry, the best thing someone in the ministry can do oftentimes is love on others, care for others, get busy helping others. Because what? It takes the focus off ourselves. And so as the enemy attacks us and as the flesh and as temptation and as all of these things that we deal with in a real sinful fallen world, the best way to like navigate that is often to just get busy helping someone else. My wife told me the other day I was feeling bad, very sick. And she said, look, honey, let's pack up some food and bring it to the blessing box. Now, why would she tell me that we should go do something for someone else? A blessing box is like a little pantry that they have out. People can take food if they need it. And that's typically in front of a church, sometimes a school or municipality. Why would she do that? She recommended that because that is a remedy for feeling bad. Amen. That is God's word in action. Yet we all seek our own way. We all seek our own path. We all seek our own comfort and rest and stuff like that. I mean, honestly, if you're in some big mansion by yourself and nobody can relate to you because everyone's just trying to get by, and you're just in some big mansion and you're just sitting on a pile of money, how happy are you? You think you'd be happy? You're miserable. Okay, true happiness is loving your brother, loving others, living sacrificially. Let's see, verse 15 here. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. All right, so we see God's mercy again in verse 15. There was a mark set on Cain, and God is saying, nobody's going to touch him. Now, you could also say this is God's justice because now Cain has to live with these consequences here on earth for a season, you know. Now he has this mark. It's kind of like this, this is the one that killed Abel, but he was protected. He was protected so much so that his relative starts bragging about how he wants the same protection. So we see God's mercy on Cain even after he had done such a wicked deed. Even after. We don't know exactly what the mark was. Some people think it was horns. Some people think it was something else. But we know there was a mark that kept people from killing Cain. And we know this knowledge was passed on from generation to generation. And let's see here. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And we don't know where Nod is specifically, but it is a place that of wandering, of exile, of being a fugitive. You are detached from God. It was also the beginning of a godless civilization. And so we understand that in verse 16, there's a separation that takes place between Cain and God. We see in the biblical real estate that there's not a whole lot of biography about Cain after this point. Yes, we're going to learn a little bit about his offspring and how wicked they are, but he is put off to this place, to the east of Eden, no longer, I kind of picture Adam and Eve staying as close to Eden as they could, even though they've been expelled. Well, he's no longer around mom and dad. He's no longer around grandpa God. He's now out in the country, out in the wilderness, on his own, terrified. And that's what happens when you sin. Tune in next time as we get deeper into Genesis 4. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow same time, same place.